knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around and worship at the altar of Selene and also talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you, my friend.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, side bright spot.
Side bright spot.
My aunt was in town this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we went for dinner. Mm-hmm. I went to, she was flipping the bill. We went to Morton's The Steakhouse.
Ooh.
Almost got a sundae, their legendary sundae.
You didn't get their legendary
sundae. Well, but I was thinking about doing it for the Dreamy Creamy Summer.
Sure.
But I saw them walk by with one, and there was no fucking way I was, it was like a fishbowl.
I know, it is massive.
It's offensive.
It's an entire meal unto itself. You should go there just for that.
Yeah, but yeah. It was a very nice time. It was great to see her. And her husband. But the yes. bright spot is Polar Seltzer.
Oh,
has a new
okay.
flavor out.
Uh-huh.
And I tried it, and it is the best.
Really?
I honestly think that this would do numbers in the year of the seltzer had it been around.
Right.
It is a pink apple lemon flavor seltzer, and it is right on. Honey crisp apple, my
uh-huh.
friend. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm fascinated by this pink apple lemon.
It's
so it's like
so
pink
good.
Lemonade plus a Honeycrisp apple.
No, pink apple and lemon, not pink lemonade and apple.
Right, but I mean the pink. I've never heard pink apple before.
What about a pink lady?
What about a pink lady?
That's a kind of apple.
Well, I understand that, but it's oh my god!
Or
never
Honeycrisp.
We're talking around each other.
No, we're not.
This is not going to be solved today.
You're the one who's confused. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think of the flavor.
It's so good.
Uh-huh. Okay. You
it's
do know
crisp.
Exactly what you're talking
it's
about.
Refreshing.
I believe you.
Oh, my God. I like apple juice, but sometimes
sure.
too sweet.
Too sweet.
I also think
needs a little bitter
right,
for the balance.
Right. But yep. I also think that sometimes those like ciders that you get at a bar,
little too
tart.
Little too sour.
Yeah.
Not good.
This is right in the middle. Nice sweet spot.
Good stuff.
So good.
All right.
Probably 97.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That is...
I can think of few ways that it could be better.
Right. Wow.
Polar, I think low-key might be the best.
All right. Well, we'll see if that's recency bias. I'm going to have to say that you're going to have to start over from the beginning and retaste all of those other
from songs. The top.
Let's go.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Dragon Ball Z, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
As we, I'm regressing. I'm clearly regressing into a childlike state. And I was like, what do I need to do? And I realized... I needed a soap opera, and mm-hmm. that is what Dragon Ball Z is. It's just like professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a soap opera with fight scenes from time to time. It's all about the build-up, and then the fight is actually kind of boring, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's very predictable,
sure.
the whole thing, and the formula is nonstop the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop the same. A commitment to a formula so staid and boring mm-hmm. that it's almost admirable, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm barely paying attention. I'm really trying to figure out a way to make RuPaul's Dragon Ball Race Z work or
that's
something,
just,
but it just...
No.
I can't make it work.
It's not going to happen.
There's a pun in there, my friend.
I really wish there was, but I think better minds than you have driven themselves mad trying to find it.
I've seen the best minds of my generation driven mad by trying to make this pun. Fuck.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, enjoying isn't quite the word, but yeah. It's good.
So, Jordan, today yes. we have an episode to go over.
Sure.
And I'll explain all about it in a moment. But
ooh.
First, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, the look of confusion on the waitress's face at Olive Garden when I tried to order the Lionel Sperling Getty. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to do punch up on this.
What?
I tried to order the Lionel Sperlingedian meatballs.
Okay, that's a little bit better.
Yeah, gotta see if we were in a workshop talking about jokes.
Sure.
You need a tag on there. That's the meatballs.
Right. That's
anyway,
fair.
Next live tonight, it's Dr. Toots and the Bachelor Squatch Trio. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Boy, sorry about this one. A little bit late.
Oh, no.
This is a shout out. Happy Father's Day to Paul Griffiths. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Boy.
Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there.
Next, Narc Artfunkel. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a couple of technocrats here in the mix. So first, Don Ford, voice of fantasy and adventure. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Luke loves Josie, and both of us love this podcast. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow, and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He's not, never will be, and never was.
Nope.
So today, Jordan, I'm sick of Alex's bullshit.
Sure.
The publicity stunt shit from last week, just very annoying.
Really
leaves a bad
taste
in my mouth.
Yeah, really drains you.
But simultaneously, there's not a lot of other very good outlets to look into. Jim Baker, dry
sure.
well.
Dead.
There's no more Squatch Talk yet on Project Camelot, so I don't know where to go with that.
Can't go back to the forest on that one too many times.
No, and I did check in on a number of episodes from 2003, and I was just boring. Boring, yeah. Wasting my time
oh,
this
no.
weekend. Just a woo. And so I realized that there was something that I had been meaning to do for a while.
Oh?
And that is go over September 11th, 2001.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, my God. Do you know how funny that is? Because of the did you see the picture going around?
No.
Apparently ESPN's Yankees Red Sox.
Oh, that picture. Yeah,
that
yeah.
That picture is so
the ground
funny.
Zero.
Ground
they
Zero
the,
with
yeah, that was very
the Twin Towers
yeah.
of New York and Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, so this
amazing.
Is a little bit of weird timing.
Amazing.
But so here's the situation. Like, one of the reasons we haven't covered this already was I didn't have access to the audio initially when we first started this podcast.
Sure.
I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know where it was.
Right.
And so that was a limiting factor. And then as we got further into the podcast, I kind of thought, like, we'll save this. We'll
right.
save this for something. And stupidly, I was like, we'll save it for, like, we do it live. We'll do a live
oh,
show.
Oh, no.
And gradually that felt like that's never going to be a good idea.
Nope.
And it just the can got kicked down the road.
Sure.
And I don't know. An argument could be made that a professional podcaster might have done this for like episode 700 as opposed to 704.
I really don't understand. Why have we numbered our episodes in the first place? It was a bad idea. Neither
it's
of us
just,
remember.
It's just a way for people to have shorthand for like it was in 205.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
people
asked
me to do it, so I put numbers on.
Well, see, and now you're beholden to the numbers game.
But I'm not.
Exactly.
Clearly.
But that's
because
how we
here
live.
We are doing September 11th.
And it's Father's Day.
On a unimportantly numbered episode.
Yes.
So here's the syllabus.
Uh-huh.
Alex was on air during the day.
Right.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be covering Alex's evening show. He was back on air from 9 to midnight.
Oh, boy.
That night.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, there's going to be different amounts of information that he's privy to. Different things will have happened.
Right.
And so, over the course of these next couple episodes, we will experience his immediacy and
right.
his, like, I've had a little time to simmer. and we'll see if there's any differences. We'll see how this goes.
It's nice to go to the past and him being correct about Saddam's son still being alive. That's, you know.
Doesn't come up.
Doesn't come up.
Saddam does, though, in a very weird way.
That makes sense.
So one of the other things, too, one of the other reasons that I was motivated to go forward with this for now is that also we're going to be in Austin.
Indeed.
We're going to be, you know, doing a bit of like present day coverage of Alex. And it feels like let's have some fun while we can.
We're going to be doing plenty of present day Alex for a while.
And I worry that a lot of that will not be super informative in the way that I kind of like a lot of our show to be. You know?
Sure.
There's revelatory things when you go to the past. And
right.
You experience stuff that's like, wait a second, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
And there's not as much of that in the present day.
It's
so,
more recapping in the present as opposed to revealing.
And some, like, can you believe this?
Yeah, I know, right? Can you look at this asshole?
Yeah. Oh. And so, get, you know, smoke them while you got them.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, the feeling I have.
That's how we live.
So here we go. Here is how Alex is starting off the show. And I will say that this is about exactly what you would expect. He's recounting the events that have happened up till the point that he gets on air himself.
Right. Well, I've been warning you about it for at least 5 years.
Wow.
All the terrorism that we've looked at
right out the gate.
Center of Oklahoma City to Waco has been government actions. They need this as a pretext to bring you and your family martial law. They're either using provocateur Arabs and allowing them to do it, or this is full complicity. With the federal government, the evidence is overwhelming to bring you up to speed on what's happened. At 8:50 a.m. EDT, plane hits World Trade Center. 9:20, FBI says at least one plane hijacked. 9:30 Eastern, second jet crashes into World Trade Center. Plane hits Pentagon. 9:40, federal officials said a U.S. airplane has hit the Pentagon. The crash comes nearly an hour after two planes hit the World Trade Center building. All U.S. buildings in Capitol Hill evacuated. 10:13, 10:15, World Trade Center South Tower collapses. 10:20, report explosion at Capitol. 10:30, U.S. congressional leaders, top cabinet officials moving to secure facilities. 10:30, anchor, another hijacked plane reported 20 minutes south of Washington, D.C. Second Tower North collapses. Hijacked plane crashes south of Pittsburgh, PA. Officials investigating at another hijacking with a plane headed towards D.C., and 10:45, all federal buildings in D.C. have been evacuated. So, and then we're told other planes are in the air. They're finding bombs at schools. We don't know how many of these reports are accurate. We know the two planes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
So here we see the way Alex opens up the show on 9/11. And there's a couple of things that stick out to me in a pretty serious way.
Sure.
The first has to do with the end of that clip, where Alex says that we're told there are other planes in the air and they're finding bombs at schools. But he's clear in this statement at this point. They had no idea if the things that are coming in are accurate.
Right.
There's an understanding that the immediacy of the events creates a fog of uncertainty, and that's not something that feels the same as how Alex operates today.
No.
The second thing I found really interesting is that Alex's take on this is exactly what you'd think it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately, this is declared a false flag. It has to be, because that's how the globalists are going to bring in martial law. But that didn't happen. There have been a lot of trends that have gotten worse since 9/11 in terms of surveillance and police militarization, but those things don't constitute martial law. These are the objectives of this false flag, because they're the objectives Alex always immediately declares to blame his imaginary enemies for every tragic event that occurs, and this just fits in with that.
For sure.
The third thing I want to point out is that Alex has already declared this a false flag. He knows literally nothing that will eventually appear in his documentaries about 9/11, all of the real or imagined anomalies that he points to in order to build his case. This is critical because it really does illustrate how he arrived at his conclusion long before seeking out evidence, which is not a good process.
Hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is that if Alex knew that this was a false flag hours before Building 7 even fell, then he shouldn't be able to use Building 7 in his explanation of what makes the argument that this was a false flag. All of the evidence he should need to present has to be in his head prior to his determination that this is a false flag, or else that evidence is no longer really evidence necessarily, or at least it's suspicious that it could be trivia that he sought out to justify the conclusion that he wanted to push. And I think that description is really apt. If you look at the conspiracy theories that were pushed in films like the Alex-produced Loose Change, which was also produced by InfoWars employee Jason Burmis, a.k.a. the InfoWarrior, you start to get the picture that this was the process that Alex World was using to deal with information. That documentary had to be re-released multiple times because things in the film were debunked to the point of making their inclusion in the documentary embarrassing. They had to be edited out. For instance, in various incarnations of the film, Flight 93 was originally shot down, and then it was diverted to Cleveland's Hopkins Airport, and then that entire storyline was edited out of the final cut version. It's important to keep this dynamic in our heads as we experience the way Alex covers the day's tragedy. He already has a conclusion, and he's trying to find justification for that conclusion, whether or not that justification means anything or is even real.
Yeah.
You had quite a response there, though.
I mean, that one, the new, have you seen the new edit of his 9/11 movie?
I have not.
It's just him going, ah! And that's it. That, they've edited out all the embarrassing parts, and that's what was left behind.
All that's left behind is him being like, this is about
you
me.
You see that?
Secretly, see that? This is about me. Yes, I know that the World Trade Center is literally still on fire, but have I told you that I told you so?
I mean, that is amazing to me. You know,
it's pretty shitty.
Like, in the present day, you hear him do shit like that for a mass shooting, and you go, Jesus Christ, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, but you feel like that's with 30 years of being a giant piece of shit under your belt, you know, mm-hmm. to know that right out the gate on 9/11, he's like, boom, called it. That's his story.
Yeah.
Is an insane psychopathic narcissist serial killer level shit.
I remember 9/11 and being at school when it happened, and I remember the teachers being very somber. You know, there was a tone of like a lot of respect.
Totally.
And it feels really absent from Alex.
I mean,
and you know, one of the things I compare this to is like if you listen to the episode of like Bill Cooper after a tragedy.
Sure.
I think it was the episode after Columbine that you can find. And he's crying on air about the tragedy and how he feels for these families. He has kids, you know, mm-hmm. and like, I don't want to deify Bill Cooper. He's an asshole.
No, absolutely an asshole.
Shit, but
yeah.
On air, he recognized on some way that the people are hurting and it's okay to hurt. And
yeah.
Alex doesn't have that at all.
No, he's an absolute psychopath. Like, there's really no way to describe him other than a complete psycho.
We are like an hour and a half after the planes hit the building. And he's on air being like, ladies and gentlemen, the globalists have done it again.
9/11 is,
wow. Up.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
There were high school kids in leading prayer circles.
Yeah.
Like, it was that kind of shit.
Like, people who weren't religious were joining
totally
them.
No. Yeah. I walked in the door and there were people in circles. Like, all of a sudden, they're praying to all kinds of gods. And you're like, whoa, Jesus. Yeah.
I recall that the high school that I went to, they basically made a thing. It was like, if you want to go home, you can.
Yeah.
But if you want to stay at school, all the rest of the classes for the rest of the day are just basically going to be, we're just going to talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was kind of a, let's work through like
right.
how to process what happened. And weirdly, I had a psychology class that afternoon.
Listen, we're going to watch a movie.
so that actually kind of it dovetailed with like dealing with trauma mm-hmm. and like, I think there was a lot of that process went fairly well. This is not that.
No.
This is bad.
That's amazing.
It's really weird to think that like I was in this class talking about like everyone's opening up about their feelings about this, and like some people had family who lived in New York and
totally.
They were talking about their fears about it.
Absolutely.
Not being able to contact folks. And simultaneously in Austin, Texas, Alex is
called
recording
it.
This.
Called it!
Shitty.
Nailed that one. Put
Shitty.
That one on the board for Alex.
Man.
Put one in the yes column. Thank you.
Whew. So here's Alex talking about who he's got to talk to that day.
Oh, boy.
This is pandemic. This is one of the biggest stories of the last century and now into the 21st century. We're going to have Dave Von Kleist and Joyce Riley joining us, other Genesis hosts, one of which lives in New York. But we have an eyewitness coming up after this break if his cell phone holds. Jim Wright, we also have a landline for him, but landlines aren't working too well.
So it's nice to see Alex sort of you know, recognizing the gravity of the situation.
I suppose.
You know, like, because sometimes there'll just be, like, some weird anti-vax fake talking point, and he'll tell you to stop traffic.
Right.
Whereas this is the biggest story of his life.
Right, right, right.
And he's recognizing that, like, this is the biggest thing in the last century.
Right, right, right.
So, great.
You almost expect him to call Steve, and Steve is in New York City, just being...
I did it.
Just being like, oh, Jesus, Alex, you didn't even ask if I was doing all right. I wasn't in the building, but I'm next door, man.
Alex, this isn't going to make sense, but you've got to call Leo Zagami. He did this.
He's got it.
So that was one of the things that struck me, is that Alex's bench for his guests is shallow. There are no heavy hitters that he can get on the show. Mm-mm. Just other GCN hosts and this Jim Wright guy, who's a personal friend of his, who was there and saw the attack firsthand.
Wild.
I think he's married to Alex's sister or something like that.
Sure.
There's a familial connection. He's just a friend of his.
Right. I like it.
I know that he doesn't actually meet Steve Pachanik until 2002, and he won't run into Roger for like another 12 years after this, but it seems strange that he couldn't get like Steve Quayle or Joel Skousen on. Some of these old-timers who are like real anti-communist weirdos.
Yeah.
Or even some of the loosely connected to GCN folks that would later be his standby experts, like Webster Tarpley or Stanley Monteith or even Alan Watt. Not Alan Watts.
No, of course not.
The reality is that this doesn't mean anything, but it's something to note. They're like, none of the good weirdos are around at this point. It is just whoever else is associated with GCN or is friends with Alex.
Yeah. Is it that so much, or is it possible he tried to get in contact with them and they were like, do you realize that 9/11 is happening right now?
I didn't cut this
clip.
No,
they wouldn't, because they're psychos,
well,
too.
I think if people recognize that Alex was a useful place to appear, then then I think that they would probably make time.
Right.
I think that Alex isn't a useful place to appear at this point. He does mention Benton K. Parton, who's a guy who, OKC, Oklahoma City conspiracy theorist, friend of Alex's. He's a former general. And,
sure he is.
Head of Air Force Weapons Development.
That sounds true.
And at one point, his producer says that they were trying to call him and they're getting a busy signal. And so Alex announces on air, stop trying to call Benton Parton. We need to get through to him. As if he knows that his audience have his phone number, which he might.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
We know that Larry Nichols gave out his number on air.
Right, right. Now I'm in this place where I'm like, is there a heist putting together a crew moment for Alex where he's like walking into Webster Tarpley's bar one time and just like looking at him across there and is like, it's time to get back on the horse, you know, like that kind of thing.
If it was a bar, it would be Big Jim Tucker.
That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking of Big Jim Tucker.
Just smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Jim like looks up from a glass of whiskey neat and he's like, I knew you'd come.
It's time for another job, huh?
They ride horses to Bilderberg.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
So Alex has some evidence that he points to build his case that this is a false flag. And, of course, here's the biggest part of it.
If you go to Infowars.com, you'll find some interesting evidence there.
Evidence.
The story from back in April out of the Baltimore Sun, where the Joint Chiefs of Staff were caught wanting to blow up civilian airliners, attack the Marines at Guantanamo Bay using an army company disguised as Cubans. Bomb Washington, D.C. We have the James Bamford story. Best-selling author, former 2020 executive with the CIA and NSA documents. The feds wanted to blow up civilian airlines, wanted to bomb Washington, wanted to shoot people in Miami as a pretext to invade Cuba in 1962. That is on Infowars.com, mainstream, but Kennedy said no. 6 months later, his head was blown off. We have become a different society in 2001.
So this is Operation Northwoods, but he doesn't use the name. He mentions it multiple times, but I don't know if he knows the name or if he just doesn't trust that the audience will know the name and understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Clearly, I didn't know about it in 2001.
Sure.
It wouldn't surprise me if that particular thing gained more prominence or awareness in the greater conspiracy theory community in the past 20 years.
No, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But I would also imagine that if you're going to talk about this and you know a lot about it, you might want to give people a shorthand that they can use to look into it a little bit easier than, I guess, I'll try and figure out what plan JFK turned down in 1962. If you know the name Operation Northwoods, it's a little bit easier to look into it.
That is true.
And I don't know if it's negligence or if it's just Alex being obtuse. It could be anything.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. Could just be he's green, man. He's still young. He doesn't know everything yet.
It's
he's
true.
Got years and hours of study to put in.
Well, 15 hours a day for 20 years.
Every day for 20 years? Yeah. That's an insane amount of effort.
Yeah, do you know how many beats he could make if he was Kanye?
16. A total of 16 beats is the number he could make.
Uh-huh. Look, I think that Alex doesn't have great evidence, but here's a little bit more evidence.
Back in 1993, it was in the New York Times, October 28th, that the feds trained the bombers, trained the drivers, cooked the bomb, and allowed that bombing to go forward. They got caught because one of the informants recorded the FBI telling him to let the bombing go forward because he was worried about being framed for it. What am I saying? I'm saying who stands to gain from this? Who has the motive? Who can bring you martial law and destroy your freedom? The government. It's not our government. Stay with us.
So that's not true, and Alex can't prove any of this stuff about the prior bombing of the World Trade Center. This all comes from comments made by Ahmad Salam, an informant for the FBI who had he was inside the group that was planning that bombing. From all concrete information, the FBI was aware that a bombing was being planned, but they weren't aware of the specific details. After the bombing, Salem recorded conversations between himself and the FBI where he made claims like that the bomb was cooked with the supervision of, quote, the Bureau and the DA. But that's not something that's been substantiated in any way. And it was widely investigated and reported in the press at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's important to remember that Salem admitted to committing perjury and also just lying a bunch. For instance, he admitted that, quote, when he met his wife, he bragged falsely that he acted as security for the president of Egypt. This is from an article from 1995 in the LA Times. Quote, he said he began working with the FBI in May 1991. During that time, he said he lied to an FBI agent, falsely bragging that he knew Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi and Iraq's president Saddam Hussein, as well as the military and atomic capabilities of other countries. In addition to that, he lied under oath while serving as a state witness, so his credibility isn't strong enough to serve as the cornerstone of a conspiracy that the government did the prior bombing or 9/11.
Right.
But this is exactly what Alex wants to believe, so he will uncritically accept whatever information allows him to justify the conclusion he would reach with or without evidence. This is basically his whole game.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Yep. Here's my feeling. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you lie to the FBI and they believe you, that's on them. I feel like that should be the rule for the FBI. You should know. You're the FBI or the CIA. You shouldn't be able to just lie to the FBI or the CIA and have them go, sounds good to me, boss, and then get to work. That's insane.
I think that it's fanciful the way you think.
I hold them to a higher standard of being able to at least look into whether or not a liar is lying to them.
Well, whether or not who is at fault for a lie.
Sure.
I think that it is indicative of your credibility if you lie.
I agree.
So that's more my point.
This is a side point.
You sound like the BTK killer, man.
I sound like the BTK killer?
Yeah, because you know he only got caught because he sent a disc to the police. And part of the conditions of him sending this floppy disc to the police was that they had to promise not to trace it. And
no,
so they did.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a crime. I'm just saying that the FBI should take responsibility for their own fuck-ups. Mm. They shouldn't be like, oh, I'm mad at this guy. I'm sure that guy committed a perjury and all
you
that
just
stuff.
Have some
sure,
that's you fine. Have some weird feelings about state
it's
honesty.
It's about fairness. Okay. It is about a fair world and justice, Dan.
You just think that people shouldn't be able to be punished for successfully lying.
I kind of do feel a bit like that.
But if you successfully lie to the FBI, then you won't get in trouble anyway. Because
sure.
You will have successfully lied to them. You only lie if they catch you in the lie.
Right, but if they catch
so
you
it's
later,
never on
if
them.
They catch you later, it's on them.
Well, I'm sure there's a statute of limitations.
Sure. I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
You should be able to get away with it after 6 months.
Great. I'm glad we had this policy session.
This is a really good one.
So Alex has a number that he's going to put on the percent chance this was a false flag. And again,
four?
This is immediately.
5%.
No.
Oh.
We were able to get Jim via his cell phone there on the scene amongst all of the carnage. We should be praying for the dead and dying.
Yeah, you sound sincere.
And praying for this country.
Wow.
God heal this land, this modern Babylon that would create something like this. I'll tell you the bottom line. 98% chance this was a government orchestrated controlled bombing. I've been telling you this was going to happen.
98% chance.
That is high.
And pretty boilerplate for him. It's, you know, there's a thing I'm going to discuss a little bit later, but you can already see the kernels of it.
Sure.
Feels like a little bit of autopilot here on 9/11.
It's, I mean, other than, like, I feel like he's excited. You mm-hmm. know, he's like, oh, shit, 9/11, this is a big deal.
Well, his ratings are way up. He mentions it a couple times, like he has triple the amount of audience that he normally does.
Yeah, yeah, this is a very early example of the tragedy is good for business mm-hmm. kind of situation here.
Yeah, yeah,
even
I definitely
if it's fucking 9/11.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's cynical, man.
Yeah.
It's really bleak to look into this this image of...
Whoa.
Yeah, and it doesn't get better either. I'll say that.
No, I believe that too. It is. It is always interesting to me whenever he's adding like this modern day Babylon, where like he's saying we have it coming too. You know, he's saying
hold
both
on to
at
those
the
thoughts.
Same time that the government did it to us mm-hmm. and we're innocent,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, if we hadn't created such a shitty society, then the government wouldn't have done it to
but
us.
You understand you know? That sort of push and pull exists in the present day too. Like,
well, for sure,
God maybe should destroy us.
Yeah, well,
maybe,
absolutely.
Maybe we deserve the devil to take over because we have abortions.
Well, that is true. You we know, do have abortions, that, and the devil should take over.
That tension, I think, animates a lot of the extreme Christian right. This like notion that we deserve this punishment that's coming.
Sure.
That the punishment is almost like a holy process.
Right, right, right.
And
the unspoken part of that is everybody else deserves that punishment and not us.
Right. We are the few devout who will be the remnant
exactly.
that survive this this holy punishment, and then the earth will be ours.
Yeah.
Hold on to those thoughts, because this okay. may play a role later, much more explicitly than the feelings you're already getting. So, look, Alex had some other stories, in addition to stories that he covered about the coming of 9/11.
Sure.
I also just realized I should probably stop saying look.
Look,
I feel
asshole.
Like I say that after, like, before every clip.
You do point at me as well.
Yeah. Look.
there is an aggression.
I'm getting a little self-conscious about that out of nowhere. But Alex has some other stories that he was covering that he feels are possibly prophetic.
Every day I read news stories where they were telling you that we were going to be hit by terrorists, that it was going to happen anytime, give up your rights. They've been telling us we're going to get hit by anthrax, we're going to get hit by smallpox. The AP reported on a secret meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the heads of the media, with fake newscasts they produced back in June, where they predicted 1 to 4 million dead from anthrax. Martial law was the term used. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But they've been preparing for it, and they have been saying it's going to happen.
It's a little interesting to note that Alex was in a decent ballpark here in terms of talking about smallpox and anthrax. I don't necessarily give him credit for predicting anything, but it was a topic that would become much more relevant in the days after 9/11. It's not surprising, though. After a giant terrorist attack, you would be concerned about another attack happening, and a biological agent would be a really devastating second hit. So, if you're the government, you'd want to be safe about that. Thus, after 9/11, there was heightened discussion about these agents, since they are pretty common, accessible, and dangerous ones that you'd be worried about terrorists getting a hold of and using. As for why Alex was talking a bunch about these things before 9/11, I have a few theories. The first is that in 1998, the military made anthrax vaccination mandatory, which came to a head in 2000 with a very high-profile case of Major Sonny Bates, who refused to take the vaccine and was ultimately discharged from the service. After this, Bates embarked on a long journey of trying to sue folks about the vaccination mandate, and if you consult some of the contemporary material, it really reads a lot like the talking points about the COVID vaccines today. For instance, here's a bit from the Washington Post article about Sonny's lawsuit against the FDA from May 2001. Quote, "The suit seeks a court order that would require the FDA to treat the vaccine as an experimental drug. Such a ruling would mean the military could no longer administer it without informed consent." To be clear, enlisted persons still have the right to informed consent. There just might also be policies in place where refusal to accept something will violate the terms of their employment.
Right.
But
they're not killed.
Right. They're not like, they don't sneak up on them and inject them with a smallpox vaccination from behind.
Yeah.
It's not like you get dosed.
And it's not even like, oh, you're going to spend the next 20 years in the brig. It's just like, oh, I mean, yeah, we get it. And if that's what you want to do, that's dumb. But I mean, you're just fired.
Right.
Go get a job. That's fine.
Why would we not want all of our soldiers to be immune to a possible weapon?
Ah, no. Because what if the end?
Mm-hmm. So this is going on, and like you hear that same thing, like that emergency experimental drug kind of language that is mirrored and echoed entirely 20 years later. This is essentially right in Alex's wheelhouse, this story. So I would guess that the odds are very good that he was following this entire situation and creating exaggerated narratives out of it, which would make anthrax a really hot topic on his show and the anthrax vaccine, how they want to force it on you. And honestly, maybe it wouldn't have been relevant to most people until after 9/11,
right,
which gives the appearance of Alex talking about this a whole lot.
Right.
And you can repackage that.
Because he was in a niche area of focus, for instance, the military and vaccinations,
mm-hmm,
he will have that kind of information that other people just wouldn't be aware of at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for the meeting of the media and the Joint Chiefs, this took a little while to sort out what I think is going on, but I'm pretty confident about this.
Okay.
And that is on June 22nd and 23rd, 2001, Johns Hopkins held a tabletop exercise where they simulated a biological terrorist attack that used smallpox as the agent in the fictional scenario. This fits a lot of the details that Alex was talking about, and some of the participants in the exercise included members of the press, like Judith Miller from the New York Times and Mary Walsh from CBS News. It also included people who had policy experience taking on the roles of people in important government positions. For instance, David Gergen played the National Security Advisor in the scenario, although he was not the National Security Advisor.
Right, right, right.
And General John Talelli stood in as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in the scenario.
Sure.
An unfortunately high percentage of Alex's narratives about reality come from selectively misrepresenting things that people do in scenario exercises, so I'm going to bet that this is where he's pulling that stuff from.
Yeah, that's lockstep-y enough for me.
Totally.
Yeah.
And other examples.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, untold.
My point is that at first glance, it feels almost impressive that Alex is bringing up how he's been talking about smallpox and anthrax prior to 9/11, knowing what we know, that these will become hot topics of conversation in the coming days.
Sure.
But it's not really, when you take a moment to ask yourself if there's a reason why he would be talking about these subjects at the time. Almost always, you'll end up disappointing yourself when you realize that he's basically been doing the same weak bullshit for over 20 years.
Yeah.
This is really kind of deflating.
Yeah, man. It is like just seeing, you know, it's just a giant mass shooting to him. It's just a bigger mass shooting with property damage. He doesn't have any emotion towards this beyond...
It feels very emotionless, and that's weird to hear from me, someone who is a little bit robot.
Oh, you calm down. You've got a deep inner turmoil.
I can't calm down because
obviously.
I am not agitated.
You don't have feelings. I understand.
So I'm going to give a tiny warning before this next clip because there's some discussion of, you know, some of the bodies and carnage.
And he does that so graphically, I assume.
He doesn't really. He's getting the report from Jim, his buddy, who was there.
Yeah.
And there's only one reason that I really want to play this clip. And it's to give one example. This happens a couple times throughout the show. Alex seems to have a bizarre preoccupation with details about the people who jumped.
Oh, okay.
And I find that super distasteful.
Right. Because
he seems to really want to glom onto that detail as like, well, I mean, obviously it's an evocative image and terrifying.
Sure. And it's straight out of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here is that. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear sort of recounting of details.
Jim, tell us where you worked, what you saw, and basically run down for this audience exactly what developed this morning at 8:50 a.m. when the first plane slammed into the South World Trade Center. Go ahead, sir.
Sure, Alex. I was at that time in the World Finance Center, directly across the street from the World Trade Center, between the World Trade Center and the Hudson River. We heard a shot of, you know, 10 till 9 or so. I actually saw walls vibrating in some of the neighboring buildings, heard a noise that sounded like cherry bombs followed by almost like a dump truck dumping gravel sound. Looked out one side of our building where I thought the noise came from on the riverside. That wasn't it. We went back to the front, and at that point there are a number of our people lined up on the 15th floor watching One World Trade Center burn. It was burning from about the 100th floor up. While we were watching it, you could actually see bodies coming out of the windows. Some were obviously dead. Others were flailing as they came down.
Were they on fire?
Just smoke. That's a little gruesome, but
getting the details.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad, and that's kind of why I don't necessarily think that there's anything too like horribly graphic, but there is a preoccupation that you can track,
right?
And I felt like it was worth mentioning. And just that's his response to it is hearing about people falling or jumping, and he asks, "Are they on fire?"
Yeah, tell me more gruesome details.
That's so weird.
It's like he's trying to get a Faces of Death story told to him. You know, just like, oh man, yeah, what else was going on? Oh, was there a foot flying too? Like, oh, that's so gross, man.
I mean, it really raises the question of what more information do you gain by finding out if they were on fire or not?
Oh, I mean, well, you get to find out if they were on fire.
I don't know how it changes the situation. It's very weird. The journalistic impulse is strange because it feels kind of exploitative and gross.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought it would be exploitative and gross if I played the number of instances that he asks for, like, talks about people falling.
Gross.
And stuff. Yeah. So this guy, it turns out, is not only Alex's friend.
Uh-oh.
He also went to college.
Interesting.
I mean, Alex,
I used to be
a structural engineer, and I've watched buildings implode. It was the most perfect implosion I've ever seen in my life. It came straight down in one monolithic piece.
Now, you were a structural engineer. How could fire in the upper floors, you say one plane hit about the 100th floor, the other hit about the 75th floor. How does that cause a building to completely collapse?
I don't believe it does, Alex. I mean, looking at the way
already
the building came down, it looked like there was charges up around the 70th, but I just got to believe there was also charges at the base of the building.
He's just guessing this.
Straight up.
He is a guy who is only on this show because he's a friend of Alex's.
Right.
And he is not a professional structural engineer.
Well, he turned down CNN. He just took some classes. He turned down CNN as an expert for them so he could go on Alex's show.
I think everybody. Prioritize.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just got to do a favor for your brother.
Well, yeah, they're best friends.
Buddy.
Yeah. Took a few courses in structural engineering, and he's like, well, they clearly put charges.
I mean, I'm even going to say, like, he may have had a degree. He said he studied at the master's level, which to me
that
is always a little
good.
Suspicious.
No.
Because that means you don't have a master's degree.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I'll give him maybe an undergraduate degree in some kind of engineering, and that means he knows some things.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
I'm not necessarily going to take Alex's friend who maybe studied engineering as like, oh, well, there must have been bombs then.
I'm going to throw this out at you. Anybody who within the span of under 4 hours can suddenly decide that they place charges around the bottom of the World Trade Center without anybody noticing, well, that is somebody I don't trust.
Well, I think you could talk to somebody and they could say it was surreal watching them go down. It was like they had bombs or something. Because, you know, trying to deal with what you have experienced and
Absolutely.
What you've seen.
What's the closest corollary
right.
I can think of to try and
it's
process
like
the image?
It was a controlled demolition.
Right.
That makes sense. But
it
to
does.
Do that on Alex's show while flouting a credential of I'm a structural engineer.
Different idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not me and some dude in a bar going like, oh, is that is interesting. That's because I remember I saw one of those on TV.
It's a little irresponsible.
Yeah.
So Alex is like, fuck yes.
Yeah, of course Alex is like, fuck yes.
Woo!
This is government. What you have just told us, sir, I saw those buildings collapse. You were right there. I was watching it on the news. They wanted massive death. So you're saying, as a structural engineer, you are witnessing this. It is collapsing. And then both the structures only placed charges are so precise. Is that what you're saying?
That's the way it appeared to be, Alex.
So yeah, Alex has taken this and he is now a professional structural engineer.
Sure.
We're going with this, man. This is government. This is a 98% now, man. This is one hundo.
I despise whenever you get asked a yes or no question and you answer with something wishy-washy.
Well, you kind of have to.
That's what it appeared to be. What are you talking about? You know? Of course it didn't.
Well, but
what are you doing?
I think it's a weird thing on Alex's show because you know that no matter what you say, he's going to make it equivocal. Like, unequivocal. He's going to say, like, this is
100% true.
And not only that, this guy is one of the most prestigious structural engineers.
I studied at the master's level because I was picked out of college by the greatest structural engineers in the world,
right,
and taught secrets of structural engineering that no one has ever even heard before.
I am secretly Frank Lloyd Wright.
I am the reincarnated ghost of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. So Alex is just pushing this pretty hard.
Sure.
Pushing that. He's got an angle and he's going with
naturally.
It.
Do you see how the government could stand to gain to bring us a police state from this happening?
Alex, I'm not even going to go there. I have no opinion on that. I'll just tell you the facts I see. And
well, how would Aaron
I'm not going to speculate who did this or anything like that. That's way beyond my knowledge base.
Hitler burning the Reichstag as a pretext to declare martial law.
Pardon me?
Hitler burning the Reichstag as a pretext to declare martial law?
Yeah.
Well, I've been predicting this for 5 years. I'm just so glad that you're alive. Have you had a chance to talk to your wife?
Yeah, I have, Alex.
A jarring turn.
I'm so glad you're alive, said with no gladness in his voice whatsoever.
So this is approximately 15 minutes into the show, and it's still chaos in New York at this point in the day. It's honestly hard to express exactly how distasteful it is to hear Alex covering the story this way, knowing what people were living through. I understand that he pretends that he acts the way he does because it's part of him fighting a larger evil entity that's pulling the strings behind all world events, but coming on air at like 11:15 on 9/11 and rambling about the Reichstag fire and trying to get your guest, who's just a friend of yours who worked in a building near the World Trade Center, to agree with you that the government probably did this is a bit disrespectful. For quite a while after 9/11, people would respond to any joke about the event by saying too soon. And intelligent people can disagree about what is and is not too soon to joke about a tragedy.
The aristocrats.
What Alex is doing is too soon.
Yes, that is.
This is,
boy,
categorically, undeniably too soon.
There's no soon for this. Mm. There are jokes that are too soon, but this is not never soon or late. This is just, don't do this.
I would advise someone not to do this, but especially at this
right
time.
On the but that's the thing. You know, I was trying to put it in my head, like, maybe if you do subscribe to this worldview, this doesn't have the view of a trap. No, even if it's a false flag, the building still fell. People are still dead.
Right.
Feel something.
Knowing what we know now, we know what the number of deaths was.
Right.
And I will say that Alex believes it to be much higher ends up being. And I think a lot of people, myself included, I thought there's no way that possibly couldn't have killed tens of thousands of people.
You would have had to assume so.
And so, like, for Alex to, in his head, believe this to be, much more deadly than it was.
Right.
And still be acting this way is an indication that, like, okay, if you're arguing that his conspiracy worldview doesn't make him see this as a tragedy, then that's macabre,
insane,
and dark.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to think about what that kind of worldview would do to your ability to empathize with people.
I really don't. And then imagine if you have that worldview and you assume that there were tens of thousands of dead, and then somebody's like, the real number is actually much lower. I bet he felt disappointed.
I wouldn't want to speculate.
I'm telling you, that's so dark. So dark.
I think the only way you can go about it, I guess, is to just be like, fuck, it's awful that these people died, but I have to transmute that into anger at the globalists because they did this. You know, that's the only way you can do it, and I don't even really feel that.
No, I feel...
Don't feel like there's an increased anger that is being sublimated from the pain or anything.
It's agitation, it's excitement, he's buzzing.
A little bit buzzing. There's a little bit of...
I got a lot of eyes on me.
Sure, the audience is higher.
Yep.
I told you so, I've been vindicated.
Love's a good... I told you so.
It doesn't feel right.
No, it feels very fucked up.
So this doesn't feel right either.
looking at the amount of time between the time the planes hit and the time that these buildings were imploded, however that was brought about, in one hand, it was almost like they were giving people time, what people could be evacuated, civilians, to be evacuated, but it seemed like it was about 45 minutes, which also seems like...
It was almost like they were giving them time to evacuate. Again, degreed in the structural engineer area, you're saying
area.
It was the most beautiful implosion you've ever seen, and of some of the biggest buildings in the world.
Absolutely.
What is that voice?
The tone is just...
What?
Bizarre.
The fuck?
And then also you notice he's like trying to build up those credentials.
Totally.
He's trying to really stress the credentials, because now this has gone from a first-hand account from a friend of his into a source. This is now something he's going to try and rely on as like, the day of structural engineers said that there were bombs in the building.
Yep.
You know, like, and it's, no, they didn't. It's your friend talking shit.
Yep.
Saying things a little bit loose.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, I think that part of the mythology is something that you hear
totally.
Echoed in his show in later years.
Yeah, and it is such a, like, don't, or, well, all of his friends kind of know this, like, drop something that makes you a little bit more than just a regular lay person in there, and Alex will immediately run with it beyond reason.
You'd hope that if you're his friend, you'd know that. And
yeah.
Maybe you'd hope that you'd be a little careful.
You would think.
But apparently you don't.
Maybe subconsciously they want to make him happy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So we have some early misreporting here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the two aircraft slammed into both the World Trade Center towers. They have collapsed. A lot of deaths there on the ground. We should be praying for everyone. We have another plane smashing into the Pentagon. Part of the structure has caved in, is being reported. Another one slammed into the Pittsburgh, PA airport right outside town, their international airport.
Sorry, what?
This just in, U.S.-Canada, Mexico borders have been sealed. That is martial law, ladies and gentlemen.
You can see here some preliminary reports that Alex is airing that are not correct. And in some ways, this is stuff that's expected. And you can give him some leeway on some of this. However, the tone he's using is completely different than at the beginning of the show, where he said that there are reports of bombs in schools, but that may not be true. Now things have a much more factual delivery from Alex, but what he's saying is the same unreliable fog of immediacy stuff. The plane in Pennsylvania didn't hit the airport, and I don't know if that was something that was even widely reported in error, but I could see some kind of miscommunication happening here, so I'm not going to be a huge dick about it.
Sure.
The other piece of information is a bigger problem. The U.S.-Canada and U.S.-Mexico borders were not closed in response to 9/11. Security was tightened, as one would expect, but the fact that Alex is reporting that the borders are just sealed is definitely not correct. This, again, would be something I wouldn't be a huge dick about, because I think that it also seems like the kind of information you could hear, and it makes sense on a day like that. It's also understandable as an error, some sort of a miscommunication. They could say they're clamping down on security and you
sure.
could misinterpret it or whatever.
Right.
But then Alex says that next sentence. That's martial law, ladies and gentlemen. Sealing the borders is not martial law. You may think that a state that's in martial law would seal their borders, but it's not a defining characteristic of martial law at all.
Why would you seal your borders? That doesn't make sense.
I mean, not let anyone in or out.
Well, sure, but that doesn't make sense in the long term.
Nope.
You know?
Martial law is something that needs to be invoked, and it involves the military taking over governing and law enforcement operations, which traditionally are held by civilians. For instance, in 1954, Russell County in Alabama had been consumed by organized crime to the point where government corruption had made the existing political and law enforcement apparatus essentially a rogue entity, culminating with the deputy sheriff assassinating a candidate for district attorney who was seen as a threat to the racket. So the governor declared a limited martial law where the National Guard came in, took control, and cleaned things up. There are obviously more messy incarnations of martial law, but the principle is the same. Martial law requires that the civilian authorities are temporarily replaced by military authorities, and sealing the border does not qualify as that at all. This is a big deal, because I really don't think Alex understands the concept of martial law at all.
Mm.
I think he just uses it as a scary buzzword to evoke negative feelings in the listeners, but it often doesn't seem relevant to the things he's discussing at all. Martial law is supposed to be his big thing, like his main topic of expertise, and I don't think he even understands it on a basic level.
I mean, I really, he wants to just say, like, totalitarianism, you know?
No.
But he can't quite say that. It has to be martial law. It can't, because...
No, he just wants to say scary cop.
I mean, yeah, but it's like he still expects, you know, he thinks that Biden could be president during martial law, you know, like he, you know, like all of those things don't match up with how martial law works.
Biden could appoint himself general. Well, he's the head of the armed services.
Right.
So if
right. And I understand the technicalities there, but I mean, you know what I mean here. Mm-hmm. He just means that there's complete and total control over what you can and cannot do. Not that the military is going to run things slightly differently.
No, I think I agree. I agree. But I think more specifically, I think it's just a catch-all word for like what. When cops are doing things that make me uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, that
like they
makes
sense. Wear black masks.
Sure.
This is martial law.
Yeah,
they yell at you. This is martial law.
Martial law.
They don't give you their names and like these are things the cops do that are inappropriate. Maybe
right.
But it's not martial law.
Not quite.
No.
In fact,
you could
the
argue,
opposite.
You could argue that some things could be, in hindsight, should it ever get to that point, steps towards martial law.
True.
You could argue that.
Right.
But you don't know at this point necessarily if that's the ultimate conclusion.
Ah.
Anyway, I don't think he understands the word at all.
I agree.
So Jim has another little piece of information that I find fascinating.
Right now I can tell you a third building that's across the street from the old towers, it's also in the World Trade Complex, is on fire. It's about a 50, 60-story building. I can see fire through the windows on about halfway up the building around the 30th floor. The whole side of the building smoking on the side.
So we now have a 50 to 60 story building on fire as well. Do you know the name of that building?
It's one of the World Trade Center buildings. It's probably like 5 or World Trade Center 5 or World Trade Center 6, something like that.
It's building 7. In the World Trade Center complex, there were a bunch of buildings, but it's important to understand their relative sizes. 1 and 2 were the Twin Towers, which were much taller than the others. Building 3 is the Marriott Hotel, and it was 22 stories tall. Buildings 5 and 6 were 9 stories tall each. Building 7 is the one that Jim is talking about for sure, given that it was 47 stories tall. And Jim mentioned that he's on a boat on the Hudson, and I did a bit of figuring out his vantage point, and he had to have been...
Sure, I spent
a little bit more time trying to geolocate where he would have been.
Sure.
And I don't think that any of the other buildings would have been visible to him other than Building 7, based on where his view would have been. The other ones would have been obscured by everything.
Sure.
Building 7 would fall beginning at approximately 5:20 p.m., so that's at least 5 hours after this call. The conspiracies that Alex would be pushing later characterize the fire in Building 7 as insignificant. But here, on Alex's own show, he has an eyewitness and friend of his reporting that the whole side of the building is smoking. Alex probably doesn't remember this part of that conversation, and it doesn't match his later information base.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Despoiled by your own friend. Terrible.
Yeah, it kind of makes Building 7 seem less like the smoking gun
seems more like the smoking gun in the opposite direction.
It's a smoking building.
Yeah, well.
This is not a time for puns. Anyway, Alex has another guest on.
Sure.
Ugh, boy, I'll tell you what. Heavy hitters.
Gary, thank you for holding, sir. You've been covering this stuff for years. You know, I've been on your show predicting this. Warning people, I put out press releases on it, that this was going to happen, and
me,
the police
me,
state
me,
would arrive.
Me,
what
me,
is your
me.
Take on all of this, Mr. Brownfield?
You know, Alex, believe it or not, it did not shock me very much when all this happened today.
Cool.
What is wrong with these people?
I don't know. So Derry Brownfield is a 70-year-old radio guy from Missouri who hosted a show that's described as, quote, agricultural news. I think it's less a show like breaking news about growing corn and more like news that's tailored towards the agricultural community. Except I'm not sure if that's the case. He started something called the Brownfield Network, which still exists. It's like a news distribution service for agricultural news.
Sure.
And if you go to their website, it's all about farming.
Ah, okay.
The top headline when I was preparing this episode is, quote, "Rain comes at optimal time for Illinois farmer." That's farmer singular. This is an article about a guy named Stan Bourne who was thrilled that it rained because it helped his bean crop. This is the top headline on Terry Brownfield's website.
I mean, yeah. So, of course, he's not surprised that 9/11 happened, you know?
Well, he has since passed, so someone else is maintaining the Brownfield
network. Sure.
This is, like, indicative maybe of the news he was putting out.
That is
rain helped my beans.
Such a fucking twist. I was really expecting it to go the opposite direction. I was expecting the agricultural news to be some sort of like smoke screen, you know, like Americans for prosperity. I mean, not really for prosperity. You know, like that kind of thing.
Some of it probably was right wing weirdo conspiracy
stuff.
I think a fair amount of it might have been like
weevils are actually robots from the government.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Anyway, this old man doing farm news out of Missouri is apparently someone Alex had to get on to get his take about 9/11.
And apparently he does not give a shit.
He gives a shit, but he's like, I'm not surprised.
Sure, but I mean, yes, this is an issue.
Well, but here's the thing. There's big news that dairy has to bring. It's Jerry, but with like a D.
Okay.
It's not like milk.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't going
to
say it.
So dairy's got some big news that he has to bring to Alex's attention. And Alex, of course, already knows about this.
My original plan today was to talk with Charlotte Eiselbert and I called her. She was one of the individuals that didn't know a thing about this until I contacted her. And I said, well, we need to change our programming. And she just called back a moment ago, and she said that her husband has a friend that's a Belgian businessman. And he said that all of Europe is full of the news that two men with Belgian passports entered into Afghanistan and killed bin Laden 2 days ago. He says this is all over Europe, but not here in the United States. Have you heard anything about that?
Okay. Yes.
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 So this is about Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was an Afghani who was an opponent of the Taliban. Massoud was assassinated on September 9th, 2001 by men who had fake Belgian passports. All of the details are lost on folks like Darry and Alex, who just want to fudge details in order to prop up their predetermined conclusion that everything is a conspiracy that only they can see through.
Right.
And there is no correcting of this. There is no, like, it comes up again later.
Sure.
And it is two Belgians.
Why not?
Went into Afghanistan and killed bin Laden.
Gotta do it.
Europe's talking about it, but it's censored in the American news or whatever. It's like, you guys just have this wrong.
Shouldn't you have a real good sense of something when Alex responds to you with, yes?
I guess.
Shouldn't that be a big red flag to you?
I think
just
if you're
like,
a listener,
oh, this
it
might
should be a red flag.
Yeah.
It should be a red flag of like, I don't.
Of course.
I think I shouldn't be confident about what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I think this is dicey.
My instinct is to say yes, but I know that this is stupid, so I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. So Darry has a bottom line.
What is your bottom line analysis? What's your gut level feeling on all of this? Who do you think's behind it?
Well, you know, as far as I can't name names and give telephone numbers, but as I mentioned earlier in this show, and I have said it thousands of times on the air, I read the back of the book, and I'm referring here to the Holy Scriptures. I tried to get Hal Lindsey on earlier this morning to see what he thought about it, and I couldn't reach him. But we know that we're going to have a one world order, a new world government. We know it's coming. We know the Antichrist is in the wings, standing by.
Oh, yes.
Who he is, I don't know who he is.
Is he still standing by?
But he certainly does have the power to clean all this mess up and make it wonderful.
So currently the Antichrist is standing by.
Still
and standing,
standing
down.
By. Jesus.
Like the Proud Boys.
That guy has got to be, could be a woman as well.
I have to say that I guess for Darry, he died at like almost 80.
Yeah.
The New World Order did not come into being. The devil didn't come back.
Nope.
He probably passed pretty like, oh, well, I didn't have to live through that. Probably as a relief.
I think I'd be disappointed. I'd be furious if I had spent my entire life predicting the Antichrist was coming and then I just died. Like, it was fine.
It would feel anticlimactic.
It would be. I mean, like, my last words would have been like, what? And then I'm dead.
Or your last words should be like, I guess I'm the Antichrist then. Like, you got to.
I would go, maybe an action movie, Antichrist this.
Mm.
No, not going to work.
So, yeah, we've got Alex's buddy, we got Derry, and Alex has another guest.
Let's go to Ted Anderson, owner of Genesis Communications and of Midas Resources.
What's your take on this?
Gold's going to be more expensive soon.
I am very upset about all of this. My testosterone level is flowing just like yours are out there. Ted Anderson, God bless you, sir, for providing this network and a place for people to get accurate information. What's happening financially?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of crazy mixed up emotions going on in all the markets right now. With the World Trade Center, that is where gold and silver trades in the United States. It's the largest market for gold and silver.
Oh, boy.
I was trying to be ghoulish with my exaggeration, but in fact, I was way wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I was not ghoulish enough.
Nope.
No.
Pretty cynical.
Nope. Nope.
This is crass.
Every time I think there's no bottom,
yeah.
I'm convinced there's no bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going. Just keeps going.
Just hit those floors. There's a trap.
First floor, men's shoes.
Yeah. Try this on for size.
Oh, no.
Try this on for ghoulish.
Oh, no.
You want a ghoulish shoe?
Let's do it.
It's very amazing to me to watch this happen. I've never experienced this in the 23 years now that I've been in the business, where the markets have actually been shut down like this and won't open up until further notice.
And the borders are now sealed. Troops, federal troops, are taking control of downtown cities under security arrangements.
Well, obviously, Alex, a major concern right now is for the people that are sitting there in the paper wondering what's going to happen.
Wait, hold on.
And hopefully the market stays stable and they can get out with reasonable cost.
Yeah, I'm told that there are already giant lines forming at the banks.
Well, there's a bit of a stampede going on here at Midas Resources. And if you've been calling in on the 800 number, please be patient. We've got a lot of people working them. But you will be taken care of. There's a lot of people that are looking to have gold right now with the market shut down. Obviously, in the United States, it's going to be much tougher to buy this stuff. Not every option is open to you anymore. So if you are calling in, do that. Just be patient.
Wow. Yeah. So that line that you responded to also hit me like a semi truck.
Yeah.
The obviously we should be concerned. And I thought he was going to say about
obviously.
People there.
There's no way that you could say those words on 9/11
yeah.
and not finish it with listen.
No.
You're already a gross monster because that's third on your list.
No, we should be really concerned about the people who are stuck invested in paper money.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yep. Yep.
What is wrong with
this? That's the number one thing that we should be concerned about is some people are just too liquid right now.
Unbelievable.
I just saw one tower goes down and you think a lot of people are going to be stuck in paper money.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought too.
I mean, it's eye opening. It makes you realize how many people are in paper.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Grim. That's grim.
There's just not enough lightning. There's just not enough lightning. I'm furious that people believe in God because I think if we all just believed in Zeus only, then maybe we could get one person struck by a lightning bolt whenever they pulled shit like this.
It's
amazing.
Words fail.
I mean, it
at
really
times.
Does.
Because this is like, you know, I mean, without mincing words, 9/11 is what made Alex's career.
Yeah.
And you go and listen to this show on the day of, he does not seem that concerned about gathering accurate information about what's happened. He's all over the place. He doesn't seem like he's emotionally all that affected by what's happening.
Nope.
And the guests that he has are weirdo farm guy, friend who he has turned into the biggest structural engineer in the world.
Yep.
And his gold guy.
Yep.
This is not great.
Yeah, these are three certifiably insane people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, four of them, obviously, but one of them is, you know, well beyond that
point. He's tenured at insanity.
These three people saying those things, astonishing.
I think that, Jim, you could make some argument for being less complicit. Because there were opportunities that Alex gave him to double down on some of his stuff.
Sure.
And he was ambivalent.
Sure, true.
But like you mentioned, I do believe if you know Alex, you probably would know his tendencies.
Mm.
And you know that you're essentially doubling down by not pushing back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So Alex has some advice, and it's good advice.
Get out of paper money.
Gas up your trucks.
Sure.
I would tell everybody, make sure you've got your cars full of gas. Make sure you've got plenty of food, those water filters. If the martial law stuff starts cranking up, I'm going to go over to my parents' house, grab my dad around the scruff of the neck and say, you're leaving the country, and you're taking my little sister out of here now, who's 16 years younger than me and who's in high school. You're getting out of here, and you're leaving now. You're going to Costa Rica now. And I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to fight for this country, for the United States, against Arab terrorists or anybody else. Jerry Brownfield, will you stay with us?
You bet I will.
All right.
You bet I will. This is a great day for me.
Derry has nothing else to do.
Ooh, I'm having a fantastic time.
I already watered the... trying to think of another bean.
Oh, man. Wow.
Dad. Hey, Dad, go to Costa Rica.
This is...
Dad, I've gassed up the truck. Drive to Costa Rica.
It's always amazing to me how these people handle emergencies because they have no concept of scale and reaction, you know? Like, you know, COVID. There's only going to be lone survivors. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, well, I'm not dead yet. So this isn't even real.
Right.
And like, they just... the Twin Towers have gone down. We need to run. Get out of this country. You got to get gas. You got to get frozen water. You got to go. Go. Get out of here.
You mean ice?
Yeah, I do mean ice.
Okay. but simultaneously, also it seems kind of bored by it already.
Yep, totally. They're like, you know, well, what are we doing tomorrow? We getting Thai food?
Sure.
Yeah.
So Alex is just pumped though about, but it's like just about fighting. I just had a weird feeling.
Infowars.com for all the updates and all the news. Pilot's got 50 articles posted, the newest analysis. Everything's shutting down, the borders, you name it. Martial law is here, and we're not going to let them get away with it. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Woof.
That's gross.
Wow.
He doesn't, like, it's indicative of the tone. There just isn't any concern or acknowledgement of pain, acknowledgement of loss. Acknowledgement that people who are listening are probably going through some shit.
Yeah.
Acknowledgement that some people are scared, confused.
You know people in New York. You don't know. You haven't gotten a phone call from them. You don't know where they were that day. Where their subway was filled with dust and shit. You don't know if they've got. But yeah,
it's just disrespectful. Honestly, I don't know other. There's a lot of other words, but that's one that just keeps coming back up. There's a lack of respect for the reality and the notion that we're all experiencing something together, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too collectivist. Maybe I'm a soft liberal in that way, but I find it abhorrent.
For weeks, there was no news organizations who would begin to speak this callously about for years.
True.
No mainstream news organization would ever dare make a joke about 9/11. And this dude, fucking 20 minutes in between towers falling, is like, this is a great fucking day for me. I'm right about everything.
We got martial law going on. Everything is happening. We're fighting the globalists.
Holy
we'll be
shit.
Back
you come all
seconds.
Back. It's going to be a great day. We're going to go to station identification.
Pretty, pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I know that, you know, in 2008, 2009, when we've been listening to some of those episodes, about half of the police are waking up. And
sure.
So that's good. And, you know,
right.
People in the army are waking up, a little bit higher numbers there.
Right.
And I know from like 2012, 2013, about half of the military and the police are woken up.
Sure.
That's great.
Sure.
And then in 2003, when we've been listening to some of those episodes, we have some great news. And that is that about half of the police are woken up.
That's great.
And we have some news here in 2001.
Oh, yeah?
Don't let them give you a police state out of it. We have the power, the American people, to all police agencies and military. I know that 75% of the military is awake to what's happening. About half the cops are. We need to pray for the people that have died. Our hearts go out to their families. And I would just pray here on the air, Lord, heal our land.
Don't
we
do
seek
that.
Your faith.
Don't.
We want this land to be healed. We don't want to be part of an evil system. We want our country to be brought back to its former decency. And please, God, we pray that no biological attacks are engaged in, as the government has been predicting would happen in Fox and ABC in the last month that I've read, where they talk about 1 to 4 million dead. And
God doesn't need citations from Fox News. That's not. That's weird.
Wow, Alex. Yeah. Alex. So when you pray to me, I'm just gonna toss this out here. Now I wrote it down a long time ago, so you should really know this by now. But don't also be broadcasting your opinions about bullshit to other people.
Well, I do think...
It's supposed to be a very specific relationship between you and me. I'm God, you're you. We do it that way, okay?
I believe that in Luke, I don't remember the exact verse, but there is something about, like, when you pray unto me, provide sources.
Right. I think it was Peter who, in the letter to the Thessalonians, said, you should start a pirate radio station and really start getting into it with people. You know what I'm saying?
Slight correction. I believe it was Paul wrote to Thessalonians, not Peter.
Fine. Apologies.
Oh, I found God. That distasteful. Gross.
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
So Derry has some interesting thoughts.
Yeah.
I was one of the people back a year and a half ago, whenever Y2K was, you know, at the turn of the
century. I'm sorry, what?
That believed that this was going to be, and I honestly thought deep in my heart that we were going to see something of this nature happen at the turn of the century, even on New Year's Eve.
But that was just a pretext for them to put in their FEMA bunkers, command centers.
That's absolutely right.
Why the Arkansas DOT is to put out. In the military control grid.
Why didn't they go ahead and do it that night? Because the world was ready for it.
Also, Vladimir Putin had just taken power. Yeltsin had disappeared. A lot of power jockeying was going on.
But I still believe that this is the plan that they had for Y2K.
Wow. All right, Derry.
All right. Okay, so here's what I gathered from that.
Mm-hmm.
One, whenever Y2K was is not an acceptable thing to say. It's in the name. And then
but
two.
But it was kind of a long stretch for people like them.
Well, that's fair. That is
fair. Y2K was something they experienced for like the better part of a year.
Yeah, that's true. So, but then the second part is just, so this, it could have been 2010, could have been 2020,
sure,
could have been 2100. You have decided that whatever happens after you've decided that Y2K is the plan, that's part of the plan.
Well, I don't think that, I mean, look, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Sure.
I haven't listened to the entirety of Derry Brownfield's catalog.
I think we're going to need to.
New podcast. Farm Report.
That'd be fun.
No, it wouldn't. But I don't think that prior to Y2K, he was like, they're going to blow up the Twin Towers.
I really don't.
So he's just sort of retroactively being like, this is what I thought was going to happen. But also, you have to understand that on a really just grassroots, basic, nuts and bolts level,
sure,
this means that this is what the globalists were planning to do.
Yeah.
They didn't do it.
Right.
And so now they did it now.
Yes.
So like, it is 100% a gigantic conspiracy that somehow they had to pump the brakes on it for some reason. Maybe
whenever
because Putin was jockeying
for
power.
Hey, they were a year behind on their plans. They couldn't get things up to speed in time.
We know that their organization is lacking.
It is kind of, it's sloppy. Let's just face it.
Yeah. But
it's a sloppy organization.
There's no way around the conspiracy groundwork here. It's an assumption that's cooked into every conversation that they're having.
Totally.
And it's silly.
Yes.
So... this sounds very familiar.
They have the feds taking over central areas of downtown cities and capitals confirmed. This is the New World Order. And look for them in the next few weeks to say we need to turn in our guns so the terrorists don't blow up buildings. It'll be something along those lines. Regardless of who did this, only Big Brother stands to gain.
So that didn't happen.
Nope.
Also, I was thinking about this, and he keeps saying that like only Big Brother stands to gain.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking, like, you know who else stands to gain? You.
Yeah, that's why he's excited.
Right. Not from the, like, obviously I don't think that's a motive for Alex doing 9/11 or something, but Alex stands to gain greatly from behaving the way he is.
Yeah.
As we're listening to this, so like, I don't know. If I were him, I would be thinking very little of my audience if I were stressing key bono kind of ideas, because, you know, you might want to apply that to, you know, who gains from turning this into a conspiracy.
Mm.
People who profit off conspiracy shit.
Once you start doing that, though, then you're just never going to come back. You know, who's benefiting off of this sandwich that I'm about to eat? Well, is it me or is it Potbelly? I bet it's Potbelly. I bet Potbelly's put evil shit inside my sandwich and they're going to kill me. And that's because they don't want the money from me going back. Wait a second. Who benefits from me buying this sandwich?
Derry Brownfield.
Derry Brownfield!
So Alex takes calls.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to get a little bit of a temperature.
I can't believe somebody would call. I can't believe this.
So when
oh my God.
On 9/11, I was a huge fan of Loveline, and
yeah.
I listened to it every night. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew were my guys.
Sure.
It's unfortunate in hindsight, but
naturally.
I loved that show. It made me feel very comforted. It felt like there are people who are struggling with stuff, and you know, you're not as alone.
Right.
Even if Adam is making fun of everybody.
Sure.
And being a little bit mean, but in a really funny way.
It's your friend who busts balls.
Right.
Yeah.
And on 9/11, and I think even the day after, they just took calls about what people were feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, like just opening up and being like, these kinds of fears and anxieties that you might be feeling are normal.
Totally.
And, you know, we're all in this kind of together. And it was really meaningful. Mm. And Alex doesn't do that.
Nope.
It's the opposite. It's like it makes it worse.
Yeah.
Alex taking calls makes things worse.
Yeah, no, I really find it so fucked up that Alex would take calls. No, that's unacceptable.
Well, here's the first one.
Oh, boy.
Now, listen, Alex, I'm not a Bible thumper.
Oh, boy.
At all. Okay? But just listen to me for a second, please. Because everyone listening can take their Bibles and look at this.
Oh, God.
Revelation 17 describes exactly what's taking place right now, at this very moment, what happened in New York. Now, if you take the airlines...
Well, read it to us.
Okay. Oh, my God, Alex, it's too long. It's huge. I mean, it's lots of words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is too long.
All right.
Can't read it.
What's happening is exactly what's in there. If you take the airlines out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you take the... They didn't know what planes were.
Revelation 17,
baby. And if you take that... They didn't know that this continent existed. And if you take that... They had never heard of, I don't know, the world. Any number of things.
You're going an interesting direction, and that's not where he was going with if you take the airline.
Oh, okay.
He'll get into this here in a second.
Okay.
It turns out it's actually numerology.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just here are the flight numbers. Flight 11, Flight 77, Flight 175, and Flight 33. Now... Numbers is a language just like our language.
Yeah, 33, the occultist at Bohemian Grove and all of this are obsessed with it.
Okay, you take these numbers and you add them together, and you get a total of 296. Now, you take 2 plus 9 is 11, plus 6 is 17. And in Revelation 17, it describes what's taking place. Now, I have no idea if it's coincidence or whatever, but still the numbers are there. The language is there.
So this is stupid, but it's also not correct. The flight he's saying is 33 is actually United 93, which ruins Alex's whole occult number riff. And it basically screws up his own weird cryptic math that he is trying to pull off here. Either way, this is a great use of time on the day the world changed. This is bad. Like, Alex should have cut him off when he started doing math.
Absolutely.
This is not like... This isn't something that you should humor, but he lets him go on for a while. And
how are you not just like, sir, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop this right now, sir.
I understand you're trying to make connections and make things make sense, but you can't because that's what your whole thing is.
Listen.
It's just that this is a different, more unhinged or more detached from reality, more obviously detached.
How about I'm going to throw this out at you, sir. If God speaks in order of operations, addition and subtraction, then go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't even want that God. So if you are right, I'd rather worship the devil than a God who's like 2 + 4 = 6 and 6 - 3 is 3. And that's where the devil comes from.
And God saith unto me, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
And God said, X parentheses 1 + n, you moron.
Yep. Ugh. I find this very depressing.
Yeah. Yep.
Partially because he's got the flight number wrong.
Yeah, that really fucks with his whole Revelation.
But it also fucks with Alex's thing, because the thing that he attached or he took from it was the 33.
Right.
And that's incorrect.
Well, okay, so we
But even if it is, Revelation 17 doesn't describe what's going on right now.
Right,
also,
right.
17, what are we doing here? Q, 17th number, QAnon, boom.
Wow, you're right.
Also, at one point, Derry is talking about a small town in Missouri named Sandy Hook.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's just a short mention. It doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
He's like, you know, New York's a bigger town than like Sandy Hook, Missouri.
I'm sorry, Dan. On this show, if there are things that are even slightly, perhaps not tangentially related, we're going to have to make a conspiracy out of that.
Fine. I'll find the clip and play it on the next episode of Derry saying Sandy
Hook. Thank you very much. All right. Because whenever Y2K happened or whatever, all right, we knew. That's all I got.
So Alex takes another call, and this is bad.
Those buildings went straight down. John, what do you see happening? They're really gearing up.
Oh, yeah. Life has changed. I don't think we can accept what we've expected. I don't think that there's anything new to make of all of this. It's the world turned upside down.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to clean my weapon, man. I'm going to clean my weapon.
Don't you do that anyways?
My only worry is that I don't want to go alone. I'm not afraid to go, but I just don't want to go by myself.
Oh, my God.
These people, these government agents, they ought to be ostracized. First, they ought to be identified, and then they ought their pictures and posters ought to be publicly displayed. They ought to be ostracized in the church and everywhere else.
John, I appreciate your call. We don't know if the government did this. We know they did the other ones. We know they kept telling us it was going to happen, and we know who stands to gain. I know this, though, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to any FEMA center. What about you?
It's legitimately nuts to listen to this, because it seems like Alex is in many ways on autopilot. This whole song and dance here is so cookie-cutter that it almost doesn't seem like you'd need to be awake to do it. He already said that he believes 98% chance the government did this, and then later said the government did do this. But this caller is saying things that get into violence, so Alex decides to hedge a little bit by saying, we don't know who did this, but we also kind of know who did this, wink wink, and also I'm not going to let them take me alive.
Yeah.
It's really the same couching type of presentation he does all the time, and it's really weird to see it being deployed when talking about the biggest event of his life, which happened a few hours earlier.
Yeah.
It seems weird to say this, but I don't get a strong sense that Alex cares that much that 9/11 happened.
I don't think he gives a shit at all.
It's weird.
It is one of the weirder things that I of all the things that I was expecting Alex's 9/11 episode to be, apathetic was not one of them.
I think it's more cynical than apathetic.
Sure, but that's one way.
There's definitely a line of apathy that goes, a deep vein.
A streak of it.
Yeah.
Like Pepe Le Pew's white streak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So look, he believes that it's the government. He's already said that it was the government.
It was the government. 98%
chance, well, then 100.
But we don't know that for sure. We just know that everything that would point to the government means the government did it.
Well, there's another suspect.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, there's one person that might be able to pull this off, but everything he does is tapped straight.
Leo Scami.
And that is Saddam Hussein. Why this government ever put him in power in the 70s, why he was our big buddy to fight Iran, why he was giving him the chemical and biological weapons from Houston. If Saddam did do this, and there is a chance that this is not the government, that it is Saddam Hussein, I want that country nuked, and I want...
I'm sorry, what?
And the question is, why didn't they take Saddam out in 1991? I asked you that question!
Fair enough.
Sure.
So I guess he's into blaming Iraq sooner than George W. Bush.
That was fast. That was fast.
And it seems really not like what Alex likes to present himself, that he would be like, I want them nuked immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want you to be emperor of anywhere, if that's your response.
Why would that work out well at all? Like, shouldn't you recognize the amount of civilian death that would cause, the pointlessness of that response? Like, that's fucked up.
No, people don't understand that.
But Alex is supposed to.
You know,
he's a peace guy.
I think we need to go back to everybody being really, really terrified of nuclear weapons. Like,
yeah.
We need to show kids the bombs in schools
well,
like they did.
It's unfortunate.
Duck and cover
that,
should... I know it doesn't help, but yeah. It should be instilled into children to be way more afraid of nuclear weapons than we apparently are.
It's unfortunate that a lot of that stuff was so silly that it becomes mockable.
Sure.
That, you know, you might have a tendency to take lightly the effects
yeah,
of
no.
some of the modern weaponry.
No, when I was researching for my book...
How to Make a Nuke?
No. When I was researching it, I found out that most of the Missileer Corps, not most, but like a massive chunk of them are always high. And the people who... And all the computers are from the 1980s. Like, it is... terrifying if you look
like
into what it's crazy. It's crazy. People are still using punch cards to control nuclear weapons in 2022. It's bananas.
I'm into it. That means it's less hackable.
Yeah. And they're doing ecstasy, so it's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, you gotta get you gotta.
No,
fun.
Totally. Have you ever gone down into there? Those silos are terrifying.
You go crazy if you're not on X.
Absolutely. You got it.
So Alex takes another call.
Yeah.
And this guy, this is a little bit of a longer clip, but I wanted to play it in sort of full.
Mm-hmm.
This guy disagrees with Alex about some of the premises that he's coming forth with. And this flusters Alex to a point that he ends up making a totally bizarre claim at the end of this.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I don't see, first of all, I don't think this is government sponsored. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Secondly, I don't see how an act like this is going to help with illegal immigration and the movement towards that, if anything. If anything, I think it's going to make people refocus on why illegal immigration is so bad.
Well, that's
country.
The point I've made. They tell us to give up our rights and drive through checkpoints.
That
we live in
happen.
The heartland. But then they've got the borders wide open and porous and then have been advertising how open we are to terrorist attack. That in and of itself is a grand crime.
No question. And I think that people will get refocused on that. And I think they're going to have a really tough time modifying the law. I really don't see martial law being declared.
It's already civil emergency, and I've got dozens of the states.
But Alex, this is a normal response to a major issue. I mean,
so are you in the military?
I used to be.
Okay,
I'm a retired officer.
Well, we support the military. Most of the troops I know agree with the analysis we have here. We don't know who's done this, but are you telling me Osama bin Laden could coordinate all of these four attacks?
I'm telling you that there are lots of people who are mercenary for hire that have been in covert activities for many countries.
A mercenary's going to fly a plane into a building.
No, you didn't let me finish what I was saying. I believe that there are enough tentacles by organizations throughout the world and have enough finances and connections to pull off something like this.
I will say this. There's a good chance Europe could be behind this. They're rolling
what?
After Euro. Right now,
the euro
becomes the full currency in 2.5 months.
Yeah, the euro.
The euro is what caused 9/11.
So now Alex has decided that it's like he's so thrown by this guy, like he can't impugn him by being like, "Oh, you're not even in the military."
Yeah, exactly.
Like these kinds of standard attempts to like make him not appear to know anything,
right?
Fail, and so I guess you know what. Maybe it's the fucking EU. They're rolling out the euro, so they attack our symbol of the economy. What do you got? Oh, it all makes sense.
It is a little bit like if a blindfolded kid kept trying to hit a piñata,
mm-hmm.
and eventually the piñata, he just couldn't break it. And so then they just hugged.
So,
like, that's what happened there. He was like, well, I guess I just believe Europe killed everybody then.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
Hey, you don't agree with the crazy stuff I'm saying, so I'm going to say something crazier. How about that? How
do
you like
what
that?
What do you got? How do you do it?
Yeah.
Huh?
So weird. Do you want to nuke Europe now?
I love the response to that. I don't think martial law is going to be. It's already happened. I love that for any question like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that they're going to ban... cigarettes and they already banned them. Like, okay, all right, man. Okay.
Yeah, and there's also two things that have already come up that are interesting counter arguments to the ideas that Alex is expressing. The first is when Jim was on and he was talking about how there was a long delay between the crash and the plane or the buildings falling.
Right.
It was almost like they were giving time for civilians to evacuate.
Sure.
And Jim does bring up the point that, like, it's almost as if there would have been time for emergency first responders to be there, and they were the main target of the attack, which would lead one to believe that that is a nefarious plan of a terrorist organization wanting to take out firefighters and police.
Right.
Infrastructure people, as opposed to just civilian death. That is unexamined by Alex, how that would be a motive not of the globalists, but of terrorists.
Right.
Second, this caller is bringing up the idea that immigration would become a much larger issue in the wake of a foreign terrorist attack.
And it sure did.
And that would not be in the interest of the globalists, as Alex has presented them, because they want all the immigrants to come in.
They want the borders wide open.
Exactly. And so this doesn't fit from a motive standpoint. And this also isn't fully examined on this, but they are lingering, hanging questions that just are ignored.
Right. And let me throw this one out there at you. Osama has already attacked the World Trade Center.
But Alex doesn't believe that.
And not just that, he is incredibly rich.
True.
He has connections all over the world. He has infiltrated most terrorist organizations. And if not, yeah.
And when that guy was saying that, like, there are groups of mercenary tendrils and stuff.
Sure.
I think that what happened in Alex's mind is like, what are organizations that I hate? The EU. They're a bunch of different
probably
countries.
Hire mercs.
That sounds kind of like what he's saying.
Yeah.
I think the EU did it. So Alex ends up going down this road quite a bit.
All right. Let's see what happens.
It's just a travesty. And Europe may be behind this. There is a fissure. There is an internal struggle between the New World Order right now. Germany runs the EU. They swore the annihilation of the U.S. They put people into power to take over this country.
What?
And it's in between Muslim terrorists being provocateur and allowed to do this. It's in between our government doing it, and it's in between the EU doing it. Frankly, I'm starting to lean towards the EU and that power block that runs a lot of our news here.
Wow.
That was so fast.
Yeah.
98% sure.
The government did it.
The government did it.
Nah, I'm leaning towards the EU.
Sure. You can't just sit
I had a look, dude, I had a weird phone call, and now I think the EU did it.
Now I'm gonna be honest with you. It's about 98% sure Europe did it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Who's Europe? Did Germany install presidents?
Germany.
What happened here?
Germany swore the debts of the United States. Everybody knows
that. Was this in World War II?
No. It was a few years ago.
Okay.
It was a few years back.
Sure.
Yeah.
What?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know. This is I could not have been less prepared for.
See, this is why you go back to the past.
Yeah, no shit.
You find things you never really expect.
I got T-boned by Europe. That's what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
So one of the things I think is really fun about this broadcast is that Alex is like juggling guests.
Sure.
Like Jim was on earlier. He comes back.
Oh,
Derry
he comes back.
Was on earlier. Uh-huh. He comes back.
Okay.
And so Jim's back now. And Alex is upgrading this banter about the EU. And listen carefully to the way he expresses this.
Did you ever think you'd see this in the United States?
No, I really didn't. You know, we've been kind of always, you know, conditioned to believe this is the one place we haven't had any overt, at least, foreign terrorism. And I'm presuming this is foreign. Who knows? Maybe it's internal, maybe not. But, we feel pretty insulated against that kind
of thing.
We're
getting the analysis that it may be the EU. They're rolling out
analysis!
Their new currency. It's already
Who's
the
analysis?
The dollar. They're distributing
Who's
the world
analysis?
Currency to Africa, Middle East, Asia.
Getting an, oh
and then
God.
Suddenly our financial center is brought down. We've been in two wars with Europe.
buddy, this is sad.
We're getting analysis, by which I mean 10 minutes ago I tossed out the idea of EU randomly.
10 minutes ago I talked some shit.
Now we're
so
getting,
we're getting analysis.
We're getting analysis. We've got several think tanks who heard me talk shit, and then they were like, wait a second, and they looked into it.
The Heritage Foundation has just called my cell phone and told me that the
EU
did this.
We got some analysis. We're getting an, like, there's more analysis on the ground being done right now.
Outrageous.
We've sent somebody from InfoWars to Belgium to see if that story's true.
Brussels suspiciously silent on the issue of whether or not they did 9/11.
Brussels has yet to respond to our "Did you do 9/11?"
No comment from Leo Zagami of yet.
Well, that's because he's in hiding.
Whew. So Derry is not in hiding. He comes back.
Gotcha.
The United Airlines confirms that Flight 175 from Boston to L.A. has crashed with 56 passengers and 9 crew members aboard. Emergency personnel at the scene say there are no survivors. Why are these airplanes crashing? Do you have any idea, Alex?
Now, is this a plane other than the 4 that went into the Trade Center?
I don't know.
Into Pittsburgh and into the Pentagon?
I don't have any idea.
Well, we know they've got fighter jets scrambled everywhere.
So they could have shot the thing down, you suppose?
Yeah, we'll probably never know. That's something they're not going to ever announce.
These guys have nothing to say, and this is not good radio. You have a guy who's running late to do the Wheat Report, giving Alex updates on stuff that neither of them have any context for. So, you know, instead of sorting the information out, Alex just dismisses it all away by saying it's probably a conspiracy and we'll never get the truth about this. It's legitimately pathetic and almost self-parody.
Yeah.
United 175 was the plane that hit the South Tower, or World Trade Center 2. I believe that Derry is getting some intel wrong, and he's actually talking about United 93 that crashed. But the number of passengers that he cites actually matches 175. So I don't know what's going on. He might have the number wrong, or there's something that got missed in translation. Either way, this is a pointless dissemination of half-correct information that only serves to kind of bore and annoy Alex.
Yeah.
He seems to be taking this whole national tragedy pretty well. All things good. He seems like he wants to go home.
This was the first time I honestly related to anybody on this show. Whenever he was like, "I don't know what's going on," I was like, "That is the first legitimate, acceptable phone call."
You know what's wild?
To have.
Yeah, that moment that Derry has where it's like, "Why are these planes crashing?" It sounds stupid to us now, but
no,
at a point, you wouldn't have known that they
absolutely
were hijacked.
No, absolutely.
You know, like, obviously that's an assumption that you could make, but, like, yeah, there is a reason for, at this time of day, for Derry to be like, "I don't know why they're crashing.
I don't know what's going on."
Right.
That is the most human response I can think of here.
I don't want to make fun of that too much because I think it is normal, but it also doesn't serve to help a radio show that's supposed to be disseminating news and information.
No. See, I am screaming in this scenario. I'm screaming, "I don't know what's going on." So I'm going to go to the news for information about what's going on. I do not want to go to the news and see me screaming, "I don't know what's going on."
And then Alex waves his hand.
Alex is like, "Eh, something's happening.
It's a conspiracy.
You'll never know."
So Alex got that caller who was talking about some numerology.
I really wish he didn't.
Alex is going to get into a little of his own.
Yeah, if they don't attack somebody and level entire countries, we'll be attacked daily. In Florida, a pair of education speeches, the president scrapped his schedule and said that the first reports of attacks on New York came up on the board and said that 9 stands for judgment and 11 for disorder.
Really?
And it shows how the globalist, everything is 33, everything is 7-11, all of these occultic numbers.
That makes sense as well.
I'm not making this
that
stuff
does
up,
make
folks.
Sense.
I mean, look at all this. Look at the flight numbers, 33. And
that's not accurate.
It's not one of the flight numbers.
What's 7-11?
7 is heaven, and 11 is the number of minutes that you... Wait, no. What?
The 7-11 wasn't a flight number.
No.
It's 9-11.
Right.
7-11's a store.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with this?
I couldn't get anything to eat at 7-Eleven.
They were out of tequilas.
They were out of the good stuff.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
All they had left was the Flamin' Hot Nacho Doritos. It didn't have the cooler ranch.
Harumph.
I know. It's brutal.
I wanted a donut.
Ah.
So, Alex has some more bad predictions here.
Yeah, we could see nuclear war within the day. In fact, I had a report last night that we covered.
No!
That Israel's very upset, saying Iran now has nukes and the missiles to deliver them. It's just, folks, this could be the beginnings of Armageddon. I hate to say that, but we certainly have the ingredients, don't we, Derry?
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it? And you've heard me say time and time again, once you read the back of the book, you begin to see a different picture, and you look at the overall picture. I definitely say we are in the end time.
I believe he's right as well, Alec.
Now, when we great, talk good. About the well, end times fantastic. Christians, sure. That doesn't mean the end. That means the start of the good stuff.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Oh, boy.
Sure.
That's not good.
Is there any...
The end of the world for us is good. We are excited about the idea of the possibility of nuclear war kicking off tonight and this being Armageddon.
I just want... But
that makes sense for his apocalyptic version of Christianity.
Sure. Can we have one national or world or even local tragedy that is not evidence that we're in the end times? Just one. I just don't want to know that we're in the end times every single time. How many end times are we going to be in, man?
So many.
I've been in so many end times.
Yeah.
There's a limit.
Yeah. So I had this really interesting thought of a way that I would like to talk to Alex.
Sure.
If I ever were to.
Yeah.
I know that he has a lot of evidence that 9/11 happened. And he has a lot of videos that he's posted, or it's an inside job.
Sure.
There's a lot of videos that he has posted that are like smoking gun evidence.
Uh-huh.
Is like at the title of it.
Right.
And so I would bring up, I'd like to talk to you about this article, smoking gun evidence that 9/11 was an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
What is this about? It's a smoking gun.
You just tell me.
What is it about?
You just tell me.
I guarantee, like, he would guess wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there have been 100 articles. Or even, like, smoking gun, COVID is a killer.
100%.
COVID vaccine kills.
Which one?
What is the smoking gun?
Which smoking gun is this one?
Yeah. You'd never get it right.
I would just put him in a room that had the floor covered in guns and 30% CO2. And then we could really get to the bottom of all of his issues, you know? Is CO2 good for you?
Turns out not.
How many floors can you have? How many guns can you have on a floor? That's another question he has.
So, Alex and Derry, this gets back to where you were talking earlier about how it seemed like they looked at this as like a righteous punishment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is where, like, it really gets into that. And
this
feels really messed up.
The true believers are looking forward to this next 1,000 years. So, But again, you have to have studied this.
It could also be part of the birth pains.
Absolutely,
And again, if people don't understand this, I caught world leaders. It's been in Esquire magazine. It's been in the Press Democrat front page, mainstream San Francisco paper. It's been on national television in Europe. I snuck in and caught world leaders in black and red robes worshiping the devil. So why are you offended by us talking about how we're Christians and how our Bible tells us this would happen in detail, and we're kooky, but world leaders can dance around worshiping Moloch? I mean, if world leaders are worshiping the devil, we're going to be judged. Nations are judged. That is the bottom line. Would you agree, Mr. Brownfield?
Absolutely, and that's what I said earlier today. I think I've said it 2 or 3 times on national radio, that it's difficult for me to pray for America today. I can pray for God's people, and I can pray that as many people are going to be saved as they possibly can. But when our own children cannot go to a public American government school and stand up and sing God Bless America, God bless America?
I think the fetal tissue is part of it. I think trading with China, giving them the Olympics when they killed their political dissidents and blew up 450 churches.
Pissed off God so bad.
Publicly last year when they're murdering the Tibetans.
Well, go closer to home. How about all the murdering we're doing to our own children?
Yes. The drugging of them, the abortion. We're being judged, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, sadly, I think it's just the beginning, Alex.
And decadent societies are always judged.
Well, they have been, and they will continue to be.
But you guys are exactly right. I'll leave you alone.
Okay.
Thank you, Darren.
Blessed is the nation that that believes in God, you know. And cursed is the ones that don't.
Yeah, so 9/11 was a political punishment from God. This is no different than, like, Pat Robertson's kind of shit.
Yeah,
that people
yeah.
mocked rightfully.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to throw this out at you,
mm-hmm.
okay? Did you ever notice how God is exactly as dumb as the people talking about God?
Mm.
You know, like, it is so crazy to me that we can hear Alex say, I want them nuked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can hear him talk about his God just nuking people whenever he feels like they need to be.
Well, and there's an,
so crazy.
There's an interesting other sort of branch that goes off these thoughts.
Sure.
And that is that God is right and God is, you know, infallible. And so if God's judgment for the political decisions that you disagree with is doing a 9/11.
Right.
That kind of implies that you want to do that to people, to punish them for things like abortion.
Yeah, it is almost like the people in those planes
justified spiritually
flying into those buildings justified their behavior almost exactly the same way you just justified their behavior. Mm. How crazy is that?
There are weird wrinkles, but it was the EU. So.
That's right.
So maybe
that's
not.
Right. That's right. I forgot.
This show is a mess.
It is a
chaos. I think you understand why we have to do these as separate
Absolutely.
Episodes.
Absolutely. I don't know what's happening. We were 98% sure it was the government. Now it's the EU.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm half convinced it's going to be Squatch by the end of this.
It's got to be Squatch. It's got to be the Squatch. There's only one hero for us, and that's the Squatch.
So there's this is dumb.
Yeah.
American people don't even know what war is. To my knowledge, this is the first time there has ever been an attack on American soil.
Other than the British.
Then you should learn more.
I'm talking about in modern history. Anything that anybody can remember.
What?
See, we went through two world wars and never was attacked.
Not true.
Yeah, we had some German agents blow up a weapons dump in New York, but the media never covered that. They said it was an accident.
Well, I don't know.
Pearl Harbor, dum-dum.
I was going to say, you realize that big attack,
yes.
The biggest attack that literally anybody could remember before this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was big.
That was huge. It was on American soil, too.
Yeah, but I guess there's some kind of, maybe Alex doesn't look at non-mainland as America
sure,
or something.
Sure, fine. If we're just going to make arbitrary rules about fucking everything.
Yeah, that's inappropriate. Yeah. Hawaii is a part of the United States.
Nah,
it's U.S.
count.
Soil that was attacked.
Doesn't count.
I understand that he thinks that's a false flag, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
But still, it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, also, the fucking earlier bombing of the World Trade Center.
Hey, you remember that one?
Anyway, yeah, Derry should learn more.
Yeah, I do appreciate anytime somebody... it's the only one I can remember. And then you can just be like, well, learn. Mm-hmm. Go find more. There are.
So at this point, Alex does a reset. Recaps the news.
Sure.
In case you're joining late.
I just don't know what to say to any of it. For those just tuning in that don't know what we're talking about, four planes, both the World Trade Center towers with tens of thousands of people in them have collapsed. Hit by large passenger planes. A plane hit the Pentagon, blowing up a large portion of that and catching it on fire. And then outside Pittsburgh, PA, one slammed into their international airport, probably shot down by fighters. Fighters are swarming everywhere. Four carriers have delivered their payload of planes out into the air. We've got jets scrambled everywhere. They're flying around here in Texas right now above us. And they're declaring civil emergency and putting the feds out on the streets in major capital cities.
Why would they be flying over Austin, Texas?
I don't know. I was outside earlier, and there goes a jet flying by.
So this is interesting because later on, part of Alex's conspiracies will revolve around why didn't they scramble jets?
Right.
And so here he is reporting four things have deployed their payload, and he personally saw fighter jets scrambled over Austin. So
yep.
I guess he just forgot about that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's making it up here and he knows that he can just...
retcon it whenever he feels like?
Yeah. Maybe.
That must be a really comforting thought to be able to just be like, listen, I'll just say that this is different. Like, imagine you don't even have to fix it in post.
You know what's...
You do the show, it says something, and then you're just like, I tell you it didn't. And that's it. And that's fine.
It's basically like if you're doing a sitcom and, like, it's episodic.
Sure.
Right? So every episode is a new set of circumstances. Consequences don't necessarily carry over.
Bart Simpson's still 12 years old.
But... Yeah. You can carry some things over.
That's
you get to choose what is reset and what isn't.
Oh,
and then the audience is just like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah,
it's jarring. It's fucking jarring.
It breaks my brain.
It's narratively untenable.
In one episode, it's narratively.
You have to just not pay attention.
Yeah.
You have to passively let this wash over you.
Yeah.
Or else you're fucked.
Yeah.
So this is really a bad call here. Alex takes a call and it really... It kind of pissed me off.
I think this obviously shows that the United States immigration policy is flawed. The borders of this country should have been closed down or restricted many, many, many moons ago.
Well,
obviously, these terrorists were able to get in this country.
If they're not going to do that, they're going to track and trace you and your family biometrically to some scan to get food, as they're already putting them in, and the borders are going to be wide open, brother.
If you're paying any attention, this is a pretty big reveal that Alex mostly just talks out of his ass. Here, the caller suggests that borders should have been closed long ago so they could keep immigrants out, and Alex agrees. But earlier, Alex was erroneously reporting that the borders had been sealed in response to the attacks, and that was martial law. Sealing the borders up is good when it's a part of Alex's xenophobic fantasies, but it's bad when it's a theoretical part of a country responding to a giant terrorist attack. You can pretty easily see the flaws in Alex's thinking and how this lacks any real consistency. But this clip is actually worse than that. When he's riffing around with this caller about how bad immigration is, Alex says that the government isn't going to close the borders because they just want to track and trace your family. But we've already established as a confirmed piece of Alex's reporting that the borders have been sealed, which is part of it's being framed as part of the martial law takeover. That detail of Alex's coverage is now inconvenient for his more important talking point about how bad immigration is, so he just ignores it. This is how information works in Alex's world. Something can be presented as a fact in order to scare the audience about how the police state is here, and then without any explanation, the opposite can be presented to scare the audience about immigration. What's important to recognize here is the claim and the negation of the claim, which is to say reporting that the borders are sealed and also saying they never would close the border, it's wide open, both serve the same purpose, which is why it doesn't matter to the audience that they're contradictory and on the surface would make Alex's show incoherent. Both of these center on the listener and the white conservative Christian American listener in general, and it centers them as the victim. If the border is being sealed, it's because that's martial law and they're coming to take your guns and put you in a FEMA camp because you're a conservative white Christian American. If it's the border is never going to be sealed, it's because they want to solve the problem of foreign terrorism by tracking and tracing your family instead of stopping immigrants from coming into this country. Both of these ideas that Alex is pitching satisfy the emotional need to be under attack that he and his audience are addicted to. It doesn't matter if these things make no sense because they're not meant to. They emotionally resonate with the thing that people come to Alex for.
Yeah.
And that is really, really, like, I don't know if it's because the intensity of the event that he's covering, but it becomes so clear in stark contrast that Alex can simultaneously be reporting that the government has sealed the borders and it's martial law and we should seal the borders because otherwise it's a conspiracy to attack mainstream America with immigrants.
Yeah.
It's just... it's nonsense.
Yeah, if I were an American, I would have closed the borders right around the time of the First Crusade and then saved yourself a lot of fucking trouble.
Yeah, I find this to be unacceptable.
Yeah.
But it is really illustrative, and I think that you can learn a bit about how to process a lot of the ways that other narratives that seem weird on his show, why they're there.
Sure.
And how a lot of this is navigated. It centers the listener as the aggrieved one, the one who is put upon by whatever the larger conspiracy is.
Right.
Some of the function of conspiracies is to make things that are complicated make sense or give some sense of comfort in a chaotic world, but some of it is also to make you feel like...
to just agitate you into a frenzy, to always be in a fight or flight mode with your adrenal glands fucking pumping into your brain.
Mm. Yeah. And to give an excuse for why maybe you're not as happy as you want to be.
For sure.
It's because there's a massive conspiracy that centers on the identity that you are.
Right. And a massive excuse for why you believe that they're coming to kill you and all you're doing is sending him money.
Sure. And it rationalizes fairly extreme politics because the alternative is submitting to the people who are
obviously
going to kill you.
Lesser of two evils.
Sure.
You've always got to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Yep. Anyway, in this next clip... it's just, this is the core of what this becomes, and it is just victim fetish.
Aren't our major government facilities protected at all by our Air Force? It doesn't seem like it.
We're going to pull housewives out of their cars at military checkpoints like we've already been doing in Texas and Tennessee. That's on my website, Mainstream News Stories. That will stop.
Alex, you know as well as I do.
That will stop the
terrorists.
Don't worry. Hold on. Don't worry about the Chinese military in the Panama Canal. The threat is the housewife that has an old revolver in her closet. Mr. Brownfield, any comments? Thanks for the call, Wally.
Not really. I tell you what, I have a meeting downtown in about 45 minutes.
Well, you better go. That's about as impassioned as you've seen Alex.
Yeah.
You know?
And that guy's response of like, hey, anyways, it's 9/11. I got to get to a meeting. Bye. Crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yep. But Derry's got to go. He's got this meeting.
Sure.
And so Alex needs another bro to come in. And so Ted comes back.
Naturally.
And this clip was depressing because it starts with Ted giving voice to one of the very few times in this entire show that concern and humanity is really expressed, and then it goes bad.
Are you blown away like I am?
Oh, God, and my heart goes out to the people first thing. I mean, I just
well, this is your second appearance, so.
Thing, or having a family member caught up in this thing, and it's mind-boggling to think of the tragedy that just occurred. But, you know, then you know, it's a financial institution. You know that those two buildings were worth a tremendous amount of money.
Oh, my God.
And the investors that were put the money behind that particular thing.
It sends
a shockwave in the financial industry. There's no question about it. I mean, basically, you know, billions of dollars have just been lost within a matter of seconds.
Right as the EU euro get dollars out of here. Are going online and being delivered.
Well, you know, but that's one of the reasons why a lot of people get into gold, because there could be gold sitting in the basement of that building, and after they dig the rubble out, the gold's still valuable.
Oh, God. Yeah. But, I mean, on one hand, it is more empathetic than, or at least it begins more empathetic than pretty much all of this show so far. But it goes pretty quickly to financial conversation. But some of that, I think, is why you just wouldn't want to have him on that day, because I think that's the world he's in.
Sure.
And so that's one of the ways he processes the event is my livelihood and my entire life is based around commodities trading in precious metals and currency.
Well, I mean, their god king on the day said, now I have the tallest building. So, yeah.
I was kind of wondering if that would come up on the episode.
That would be really interesting.
Not on his day show.
Oh, man.
But I think that's why you just... I mean, I understand Ted's your boss and he runs all the companies and stuff, but, like, it's not necessarily... It looks tacky. Unless your show is entirely financial based.
Sure.
Or if you have a segment, like 10 minutes of every hour is the Ted Corner, the Ted Talk. Oh, he could have branded that before.
He could have gotten there way earlier.
He could sue Ted.
What an asshole.
Then that makes some sense.
Sure.
We got the financial minute with Ted.
Right.
But this just looks gauche.
The thing that blew me away was, won't someone think of the landlords? Please, won't someone please think of the landlords
but,
who are the most aggrieved and bereaved today?
Jordan, but here's the
thing.
That
was fucked up.
But here's what
got me.
Uh-huh.
Here's what got me. And that's why you buy gold.
Because
even if they put gold at the bottom of the World Trade Center, you can dig that up. That's still valuable.
Mm-hmm.
If you are selling me gold under the Twin Towers on 9/11.
It's not good. You could have used an example like a pirate ship or something.
That is the most... It's
using the image of the tragedy in order to promote the value of the thing you sell. And that sucks.
Anyways, Yankees Red Sox tonight.
That sucks too. The other thing that I was thinking about too is that, like, okay, like, obviously this looks bad and is gross.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do have to accept that the people who own the building, the business interests that were affected by it, it's not a non-issue. Now's not the time.
Now is not the time.
Right.
You handle accounting issues days later.
Now, that said, the gold underneath the Trade Center is a selling point. It's unacceptable.
And
it's not,
I can't
not,
believe
it's
that.
It's not just that it's not the time. That
no,
is never the time.
I'm shocked that a human being could do that.
Yeah.
I would never, ever in a minute, I can promise you, for as creative as my mind may or may not be, never would I have gotten to, here's my sales pitch.
Right. I think if you were asked to write, like, what do you think Alex's show on 9/11 was like? You couldn't imagine that it was this.
I wouldn't have imagined that.
No.
I would never in a million years have thought that he would have said that.
Mm.
That's amazing.
So he goes off air after a few more pointless calls. And here is our last clip from Alex's show from the day of 9/11.
I mean, do you think any Arab country would really do this and want to be turned into a parking lot? If they were going to do that, they would have nuked Israel, and Iran now has nukes.
Well,
Syria has nukes. Why wouldn't they go ahead and do that? No. Bin Laden,
I don't think so.
Is a CIA asset. I believe the EU was involved in this. There is a fissure. There is a tectonic power struggle in the New World Order right now.
Well, I don't believe that this was done by the Arabs.
So we have, at the end of Alex's broadcast day, for his daytime show, the conclusion that the EU is probably involved.
9/11 EU job.
So this is, I mean, like, honestly, it's hard to sum this up because it's so weird.
And
you'd kind of expect it to be weird, given that it is the day of, there's unfolding information. But here's the other thing that's blowing my mind.
Yeah.
The unfolding information does not affect the broadcast that much.
If at all.
Outside of a couple of things that Derry brings to his attention, some of which are not accurate at all, some are half accurate.
Yep.
Outside of that, there's not much, like, in terms of updates that are being incorporated. It's kind of shit talking.
Yeah. I think I can sum up the episode pretty well. And it's 33 plus 175 minus 16 plus minus 93 because they got that one wrong.
Sure.
Right. Well, actually minus 60
because
they got 33 right.
Okay.
So that puts us at, where have you been keeping track of this?
No, but I like where you're going with it.
All right.
You're cooking with gas. Yeah.
42.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 98% chance it's the inside job.
Yep.
It was the government for sure.
Yep.
Now it's the EU probably.
Job.
So we, much like Alex, will be taking a break. Yeah. He goes off air and then comes back at 9 that evening. And we will be back on Wednesday to go over what's changed.
We'll see.
Is it still the EU?
Does Alex
still think we deserved it?
God knows.
Until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight and at GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Derry Brownfield.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.